There are 6 days when you may work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest, a day of sacred assembly. You are not to do any work wherever you live. It is a Sabbath to the Lord. The next reading is Hebrews chapter 4. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words, and on the seventh day God rested from all his work. And again in the passage above he says, they shall never enter my rest. They shall never enter my rest. It still remains that some will enter that rest, and those who formerly had the gospel preached to them did not go in because of their disobedience. Therefore, God again set a certain day, calling it today, when a long time later he spoke through David, as was said before. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God, for anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience.
Evening again. So tonight we're thinking about the Sabbath day. If you have that passage in Hebrews in front of you in your Bible or on your phone or wherever it is, that would be really helpful as we go through. Now, the Sabbath day, Leviticus says, was a day of rest. Often I feel like rest is a rare thing in my life. Don't know if you ever feel the same. We tend to be busy people, don't we? Very tired. Very stressed. Life seems often to get faster, but very rarely seems to slow down. There are often more and more demands on our time, more and more events that we feel like we should go to. We can't seem to get any rest from our phones or our work. We can't seem to get any rest from our kids. We can't seem to get any rest from our own worn out and exhausted bodies. It's really hard, I reckon, even just once a day, to have a few minutes of downtime. Makes me look forward to the weekend, and it makes me look forward to holidays, but even then, they seem to go so quickly. The idea of a good, real rest, it's a bit of a daydream, except that we've hardly got any time to be daydreaming at all. It's normal that we want to rest. That's the way we were made. When God made the world, and when he made us in the world, the next thing he did with us was rest. On the seventh day, God rested. If everything went according to plan, we'd still be resting with God, our Creator, right now. So of course we want to relax. We want time off. We long to escape the pressure. We long for rest. But we don't get it. The truth is we don't get it. Not in a way that lasts. In this life, there's no lasting rest. As Christians, as followers of Christ, we look forward to a rest beyond this life. We look forward to rest in Christ. In Christ, we know that there is real, eternal, lasting rest. And God's word tells us all about that rest. He first starts telling us about that rest when he gives rest to restless Israel. And God gives a rest day to his people when they're wandering restlessly in the desert. Remember, that's the context for the book of Leviticus. It's after God's rescued the people out of slavery in Egypt, but it's before they've made it into the promised land, the land that God gave them as their home. Israel's wandering in the desert, and God says to them every week, on the last day of the week, they should take a day to rest, a Sabbath day. Sabbath just means stop or cease. So the Sabbath day is a rest day, a day when you stop doing whatever it is you usually do. This is a pretty big deal. This is the first holy day God mentions in Leviticus chapter 23, and it happens every single week. None of the others that we've read about in this series happen anywhere near as often as the Sabbath day. The Jubilee that we read about last year, that was every 50 years. But this is every week. This was ingrained into Israel's weekly life. This rest was something they did every week. God put rest front and center in the life of his people. And that's why the instruction to rest for one day every week isn't just given in Leviticus 23. Now, this isn't the case for any of the other feasts or any of the other holy days that we've read about, but the Sabbath was actually one of the Ten Commandments. The fourth commandment is, remember the Sabbath day. In the list of the Ten Commandments in the book of Exodus, God gives Israel a reason why they should keep the Sabbath. So have a look at Exodus chapter 20. It's going to be up on the screen. In verse 8 of Exodus 20, there's the fourth commandment. It says, keep the Sabbath. And then there's a bunch of instructions after that about not working and making sure you rest and making sure all your servants rest too and all of this kind of stuff. And then you get to verse 11 and we have the reason why we should keep the Sabbath. Well, Israel has the reason why they should keep the Sabbath. Verse 11 says, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. God created the world to be at rest. He created us to rest with him. In Genesis, in the creation story, it says that God made the world in 6 days and then he rested. And that seventh day was never meant to end. The sun went down and came up again, but the situation was perfect. It was ideal, God and humanity together at rest. Now, it didn't stay that way because you get to Genesis chapter 3 and humanity sinned. Humanity didn't want to listen to God. Humanity didn't want to obey God. And because of their disobedience, they lost the rest that God created them for. But did you know the Ten Commandments are actually listed in the Bible twice? They're also in the book of Deuteronomy. Of course, the same Ten Commandments, but Deuteronomy gives a different reason why Israel should keep the Sabbath. It says, keep the Sabbath in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 12. It's all pretty much the same as it is in Exodus. But then you get to verse 15. It's up on the screen again. The reason for keeping the Sabbath in Deuteronomy goes like this. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. What does being rescued from Egypt have to do with keeping the Sabbath? Well, to answer that, you have to know why God rescued his people from Egypt. And God rescued them to bring them to the promised land. The promised land for Israel was a rest that they looked forward to. The promised land for them was going to be a kind of version of the Garden of Eden. Not as good as the Garden of Eden, because that was perfect, but the same idea. A place that God had given his people to rest. So not only were the people made for rest, they were saved for rest. That's what God's telling his people by telling them to keep the Sabbath. You have been made for rest and you have been saved for rest. I'm a God who gives rest. The Sabbath day is something incredible about God. Hopefully you don't think that reading about ancient feasts and holy days is a little bit of a stretch, a little bit irrelevant. The holy days show us God's character. God is really good to us, even when we're not good. This is the good news of the gospel. God made us for rest. And even though we've thrown that back in his face because of our sin, he has gone out of his way to save us for that rest again, to give us the blessing that he made us for right back at the start. This is what our God is like. This is what God wants for us. Our God is a good God. The problem in all of this is us. Because just like the first humans didn't listen and disobeyed God and lost the rest they were made for, Israel also didn't listen and they disobeyed God. And they lost the rest they were saved for. We've alluded to this a couple of times in this series. As they wandered in the desert, after they'd been saved from Egypt, but before they entered the promised land, they were really ungrateful. They didn't trust God, and they didn't do what he said. At one point, God even brought them right up to the edge of the promised land, and they were too scared to go in. They were too scared to go in because they didn't trust God's word. They didn't believe God when he said he would defeat their enemies and allow them to live there. None of them trusted God except for two guys, a guy named Joshua and a guy named Caleb. None of them trusted God. None of them believed what he told them. And so they turned around, and for another 40 more years, they wandered around restlessly in the desert. All because they didn't listen to God. They didn't obey God. And their problem is the same as our problem. The reason they couldn't find rest is the same reason we can't find rest. Israel's biggest problem was their own sin. They kept on turning their back on God, and every time they did, they just ended up more strung out. Our biggest enemy is sin. Our biggest problem is sin. I sin, and that makes me hurt. And I sin, and that hurts you. And you sin, and that hurts me. And the world is a broken and stressful and painful and frustrating place. What would be really restful is if I could go somewhere where I didn't have to put up with any sin. Not my sin, not your sin, not the brokenness of the world we live in. That would be rest. That would be restful. But we don't get that. That place doesn't exist. Our sin makes us restless. We can't find rest. We can't access God's rest because of our sin. When you ask someone how they're doing, the most common response is probably, good. How are you doing? Good. Thanks for asking. But maybe the second most common response is we say, I'm busy. I'm busy. I do it all the time. You ask me very regularly how I'm going because you're really lovely people. And I often find myself saying, I'm well, thanks, but I'm busy. And I think quite often what I mean when I say that is, I'm restless. I'm really feeling like I need a rest. Now, I'm planning on taking a rest straight after Christmas, maybe for a whole week. I've got to use up my annual leave before the end of the year, see? And I'm going to leave Dave here in charge, and I think that's all going to be okay. I think I trust him. He's given me a nod. It should be fine. It's just that our Christmas services are coming up this week, and Christmas Eve is on Thursday, and Christmas is on Friday. And so this week I've got a whole week's work to do, but I've got two or three less days to do it. The promise of rest is there for me, but only if I manage to get everything done that I need to get done. That's kind of how it works for us, isn't it? That's kind of how it worked for Israel too. The promise of rest was there for them. The promise of rest in God's promised land was there for them. But they had to listen to God, and they had to trust God, and they had to obey God, or they weren't going to make it. Israel had to follow God wholeheartedly. They had to stick with God and stick with his word, stick with his gospel. That's how they'd enter God's rest. The author of Hebrews says the same thing to us. In fact, the author of Hebrews talks about these rebellious Israelites who wouldn't listen to God. And he says they didn't enter God's rest because they didn't listen and they didn't obey. Have a look at Hebrews chapter 3, verse 16. It's up on the screen. The author of Hebrews says, who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies perished in the wilderness? And to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest, if not to those who disobeyed? So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. They missed out. They couldn't enter God's rest because of their unbelief. But we know, and we've seen already, that God, despite our unbelief, keeps being good to us, keeps giving us the rest that we don't deserve, keeps giving us the rest we were created for. That's grace. That's just grace. Grace is God giving us his goodness despite our unbelief. So that verse was the last part of Hebrews chapter 3. And when we get to chapter 4, which is what we had read out for us earlier, the author says there that there is still a rest for God's people. Let me read again from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 4. It says, "For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words, 'On the seventh day God rested from all his works.' And again in the passage above he says, 'They shall never enter my rest.' Therefore, since it still remains for some to enter that rest, and since those who formerly had the good news proclaimed to them did not go in because of their disobedience, God again set a certain day, calling it today. This he did when a long time later he spoke through David, as in the passage already quoted, 'Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts.' For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God." The Israelites didn't make it into God's rest. And even the ones who did, even the ones who followed Joshua into the promised land 40 years later, when they arrived there, it was anything but restful. It was anything but restful because they kept on disobeying God. But Hebrews says, don't worry, because today there's another rest on offer. What is this rest? It's not the promised land. Is it the Sabbath day? Is it Sunday? Is it 3 days off over Christmas? It's better than all of those things. The Sabbath day, just like all of the other feasts and holy days that we've read about, was just a shadow. It was just a shadow. And the reality, remember that verse in Colossians? I'm not going to put it up on the screen this week because I know you remember it. The reality is found in Jesus. The Sabbath day says you were made for rest. You were saved for rest. Hebrews says we find that rest in Jesus. Jesus brings us into the rest God intended for us, the rest we were created for right back at the beginning. So we enter God's rest by putting our faith in Jesus. We enter God's rest by putting our trust in his life, in his death, in his resurrection. On the cross, in his death, Jesus paid the price for our sin. In his resurrection, in his new life, we have new life. We're created again. We're recreated. And in this new creation, we can have the rest that we lost in the first creation. Because in this new creation, we're set free from sin. We've been made new for rest. It's our recreation for recreation. But this is eternal rest. This is rest with God our Father forever. But if we don't listen to the risen and ruling King Jesus, if we don't live in obedience to him, we won't enter this rest. Like Israel, who disobeyed God and died in the desert, if we follow their example, we'll die restless. So we need to make every effort to enter that rest. Have a look at Hebrews 4, verse 11. It's the last verse that we had read out. It says, "Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience." The truth is, God's rest is only for those who listen to him and obey him. God's rest is only for those who do what God says and put their trust in the saving power of the Lord Jesus. The world says if you work hard enough and if you work long enough, you can have rest. You can go on holiday. You can retire. But your travel agent is wrong and your super fund is wrong. It's not true. There's no rest outside Christ, no matter how long or how hard you work. Without Christ, we can't enter God's rest. I don't know how you're feeling tonight. Maybe you're popping with energy. Maybe you're exhausted. Either way, if you want God's rest, eternal, beautiful, never-ending rest in God's new creation, you need Jesus. Now, there's lots of different things you can do to make sure you're on track, living a life of listening to Jesus and following Jesus. But the most important thing you can do is to never stop meeting with his people. And that's exactly what the writer of Hebrews says when he gets to chapter 10. Hebrews is all one big long argument. We've looked at chapter 4, but when he gets to chapter 10, it's the same train of thought. And when he gets to chapter 10, he says, don't give up meeting together. He's not saying the Sabbath day applies to us the same way it applied to Israel. But he is saying, don't miss the opportunity to get together with God's people, to listen to God together, to read his word together, and to encourage each other, help each other, stick with Jesus. As followers of Jesus, the temptation is to say, it's all too hard. I need a rest. I need a break. It's kind of true. Life is hard. But the solution isn't to give up and rest now. The solution is to persevere with Jesus so we can enter his eternal rest. If we want rest, we need Jesus. Everyone does. The whole world does. A Baptist needs to listen to and obey and put their faith in King Jesus. It's 4 days until Christmas, 5 days until Christmas is over, maybe 6 days until people are sick of talking about Christmas. You can fill those holidays with shopping, with buying gifts for the people you love, and you can fill those days with family gatherings. You can fill those days with all sorts of restful things, and those things are good. Those are great ways of resting. Maybe not the shopping part, because it depends on your personality. But those 6 days are also a chance to do something much, much more significant. They're a chance to talk about a rest that is far greater even than Boxing Day. But don't just limit it to this week. You've got all of these summer holidays. You've got the rest of your life. What we need to hear from each other here at church, and what your next door neighbour needs to hear from you, and what your colleagues and classmates need to hear from you, and what your family needs to hear from you as you sit around the table for Christmas lunch or sit around the TV for the cricket, what they need to hear from you is that God offers them rest. More than that, he's made them for that rest. And even though we've lost it because of our sin, he has then saved us for that rest. In Jesus, we are forgiven and redeemed, and we're brought out of slavery to sin where we have no future prospect other than back-breaking work. We are no longer restless. We have the sure promise of entering God's rest. A rest remains, Hebrews says, for God's people. A rest remains for those who trust in Jesus. The Sabbath day says we were made for rest, and we've been saved for rest. The Sabbath day, just like all of the other feasts and holy days that we've read about in the last 5 weeks, points us straight to Jesus. Well, let's pray and thank God our Father for Jesus. God our Father, thank you so much for your grace. Thanks that even though we do things, we sin, and that sin means we lose the rest you made us for, you keep on offering us rest. And you sent Jesus to deal with sin so we can enter your rest. Father, please help us to make every effort to enter your rest by listening to your word, by reading your word. And please help us keep on meeting together to encourage each other to live lives shaped and transformed by the gospel. Lives that obey Christ Jesus the King. And we pray all this in his name. Amen.